Es gibt Tage, da geht einfach alles schief. Im Autoverkehr. Im Porzellanladen. Sogar im eigenen Garten. In solchen Fällen ist es gut, eine gute Versicherung zu haben. Gut im Preis und gut in der Leistung. So wie die WGV. Jetzt zur WGV wechseln und sparen. WGV. Gut versichert und gut ist.
My mom's flight was at 6 a.m. and she was already running late. I was half asleep in the passenger seat with a backpack crammed between my knees. She sped down the dark back roads like the sky was on fire. Her phone kept buzzing with work emails, lighting up the dash. She didn't even glance at them. "Just a couple of nights," she said for the third time, more to herself than me. "I'll be back Monday. Be good for Grandma, okay?" I grunted. I was 16, not exactly in need of a babysitter, but apparently Grandma insisted. She said it was important, that she misses you. Her fingers tightened on the wheel, and honestly, I didn't have a lot of other options. That last part rang truer. Since the divorce, it had just been the two of us, Mom juggling two jobs and 1,000 stress headaches. Grandma's place had always been the fallback. Quiet, old, out in the sticks. My biggest gripe was no Wi-Fi, just trees and the sound of wind that never quite felt like wind. We pulled into the gravel driveway just after dusk. The porch light buzzed above the steps, flickering once like it always did. Grandma's house hadn't changed from the outside. It had the same old wooden siding, the paint faded to a memory of blue. The wind chimes clinked on a breeze that didn't touch the trees. Mom sat in the car a moment longer than usual. "She's been acting a little different lately," she said, not looking at me. "Probably nothing. Just humor her, okay?" I raised an eyebrow. "Like dementia different or imminent death different?" My mother gave me a sour look. "Be nice," was all she said. We didn't bring much, just a backpack with clothes, my toothbrush, and my charger. When Grandma answered the door in her usual house slippers, cardigan, and her hair in a loose bun, she hugged me tight and smelled like mothballs and lavender, as expected. But when I stepped into the living room, something felt wrong. I couldn't place it at first. The furniture was all where it belonged, though maybe shifted slightly, like someone had tried to memorize the layout but got a few inches wrong. Then, I saw the wall. Above the fireplace was a square outline, paler than the surrounding paint. The mark something leaves after hanging in one spot for years. Weird, but not alarming. When sitting down to eat, I went to get some cutlery. The kitchen had plastic forks in the drawer. No spoons, anything metal was gone. Even the sink faucet was wrapped in tape, dulling the shine. The knob on the cabinets had been replaced with these strange wooden ones, screwed in crooked. I asked if she needed help finding her forks. She just looked at me like I was speaking a foreign language. "These work fine," she said, handing me a bent plastic spork. I waited for her to laugh or smile, some kind of joke. But she just went on preparing tea, humming tunelessly under her breath, like this was a normal behavior over a quiet meal. Dinner was edible. Something grey with peas in it. Not the usual home-cooked meal made with love. She asked me questions about school, but kept forgetting the answers I'd just given. She called me by my uncle's name once, even though he'd been dead for years. I let it slide. I figured she was just getting old or tired. But that night, after brushing my teeth, I looked up expecting to see myself in the bathroom mirror. Except, there wasn't one. A wooden board had been nailed over it, cleanly cut to fit the frame, smooth and sanded, no sign of damage. It stared back at me, flat and blank, as if daring me to ask questions. And I did. Just not out loud. Not yet. I woke up early the next morning, the way you do in a house that isn't yours, disoriented, automatically trying to figure out where the creaky spots in the floor are so you don't wake anyone. The sun was just barely leaking in through the blinds, casting a sickly yellow tint over everything. I wandered the house a little, half out of boredom, half looking for breakfast. After that mission proved fruitless, I flopped on the old living room couch, flicking through my phone, trying to ignore the growing unease in my chest. I thought about taking a selfie just to send to Mom, proof of life. But I didn't. I just couldn't bring myself to, like I'd be lying if I said things were all right. Instead, I tried to entertain myself with whatever I'd saved in my camera roll, since all the apps were just spinning circles without internet. My brain must have been numbing from boredom, because when I rolled over, my phone slipped from my hand. It bounced on the soft carpet and slid partly under the couch. I lay down to try catch its edge in the gap, hoping my fingers would be thin enough to slide it out, but I ended up just pushing it further in each time I tried. I didn't want to move the whole thing, so I found a long, thin stick to sweep under and scoop it out. However, alongside my phone, a penny and a few old pieces of stale popcorn popped out. I pulled out a small shard of something curved and dusty. It was the corner of a smashed mirror. The reflection in it was warped and smeared. It must have slid under there when the living room mirror was removed and stayed hidden. But I could see myself in the reflection. And just for a split second, I thought I saw something else behind me too, something standing in the hallway. But when I looked up, the hallway was empty. I decided to hide the shard, just in case. That afternoon, she made lunch, if you could call it that. It was a bowl of pale broth, thin and grey, like something strained from boiled bones. The meat floating in it looked pink in places it shouldn't be. I poked it with a spork and asked what it was. She just smiled and said, "The usual." I didn't push, just pretended to eat and flushed most of it when she wasn't looking. The rest of the day passed slowly, quiet. I tried texting Mom, but she didn't answer, probably busy. Still, I caught myself checking every 15 minutes. Later, we sat together in the den. The TV was still covered, and when I asked if we could watch something, Grandma just shook her head. "Oh, Jerry, I thought you hate television," she said. Jerry is not my name. That was my father. I blinked. "You mean me? I'm not..." She tilted her head. Of course you're not." Her eyes stayed on me too long after that, like she was trying to remember something she never really knew. That night at dinner, she said Mom had just been by yesterday. "Dropped off a basket," she told me, motioning toward a countertop that was very obviously empty. "You didn't see her?" I didn't say anything, just nodded and looked at the dry tile where the basket definitely hadn't been. Not to mention the fact that my mom had flown away. She couldn't just drop by. I started watching her more carefully, noticed the way she shuffled down hallways like she was tracing steps she'd memorized. It was around 11 p.m. when I finally turned in. I locked my door, just being cautious. That's what I told myself. But at some point, I woke up where you're still mostly in a dream, but I heard something. Breathing right outside my door. It was steady and slow, like someone waiting. I didn't move. The sound stayed for a long time, then the floor creaked once, and it was gone. I slid the cracked mirror shard from where I hid it, wrapped it in a shirt, tucked it under my bed. I waited until she was asleep. At least, I hoped she was asleep. I crept through the house with the mirror shard hidden in my sleeve, careful not to let it catch too much light. Every floorboard groaned louder than I remembered, and every shadow stretched too long when I moved. The living room was first. I stood in the center and slowly tilted the shard to glance over my shoulder. The air shifted. In the shard, the room looked wrong. Same layout, same furniture, but it was like someone had redrawn it from memory. Badly. The angles didn't add up. The wallpaper curled in ways that defied gravity. The ceiling fan hung limp, unmoving, even though I could feel it turning above me. No sound came through the glass, like the reflection was holding its breath. In the dining room, the chairs were all facing the wrong direction. A spilled glass of water sat frozen mid-splash on the table. The windows were smeared with something dark. I kept moving, checking each space, quick glances into the shard as I moved. The hallway was narrower in the reflection, lined with doors that weren't there before, stacked and stacked and stacked, some of them slightly ajar. I never dared to look too long at any of them, unsure of how I'd even do so. In the upstairs guest room, the reflection showed all the toys in the closet turned toward the door, as if waiting. The bathroom had no mirror, of course, but in the shard, the wall where the mirror used to be bled light from behind the wood, as if it was straining to come through. The entire time I moved quietly, listening for her. But the house was dead silent. That only made it worse. There was only one place I hadn't checked. The basement. Grandma never went down there. The door was always locked, and the key, a rusted old skeleton key, hung above the fridge. I waited until I was sure I wouldn't be heard, then slid it free. The door creaked louder than anything else in the house. I winced, waited. Nothing. I opened it and slipped down into the dark. The basement was cold. It smelled like wet wood and mildew. But more than that, it felt off in a way the rest of the house hadn't. Wrong in the way it felt arranged. Very similar to the oddities I saw in the reflections around this house. But now, I was standing in it. There was a wooden chair in the center of the room with nothing else around it. Just the chair and frayed rope still wrapped loosely around the arms and legs. Deep grooves scratched into the floor beneath it, like someone had been struggling recently. But in the mirror shard, an ordinary looking basement. Boxes were stacked neatly along the walls, the paint wasn't peeling. It was a quiet, normal basement, a version of the room that should have been. I pulled the shard down and looked again. Still the same rotted room. The reflections had all been twisted versions of my world, but the basement was the only one where the reflection looked real, like this version of the basement, the one I was standing in, was the fake. I stuffed the mirror shard into my pocket and quietly made my way to the front door. I didn't even bother with my shoes, just wanted air, space, a normal tree, something that didn't twist when I wasn't looking at it. I gripped the handle, turned it, and nothing. It wasn't locked. The mechanism clicked normally, but the door wouldn't move, like something was holding it shut from the outside. It didn't even rattle when shaken. I looked out the side window. The world beyond the glass rippled, faintly but unmistakably, like heat haze, only thicker. The tree trunks shimmered, warping at their edges. The leaves fluttered in loops that didn't match the wind I couldn't feel. It looked exactly like the house did in the mirror shard. I pressed my forehead to the glass and looked up. The sky was wrong too, slightly off color, like it had been painted just a shade too gray, and the clouds had forgotten how to move. I realized I hadn't heard a single bird, no passing cars, no wind, just the house. And her. Grandma had started humming again. She was in the kitchen, standing with her back to me. I hadn't heard her wake up. She was stirring something that smelled like burnt honey and rust. The song was slow and broken, half melody, half moan, a tune that worms into your head and makes your teeth itch. She didn't move like she had the other day. Her limbs were stiff, swinging wide like a puppet trying to remember how to walk. Her feet dragged, scuffing hard against the floorboards. The back of her neck twitched every few seconds, like she was suppressing a shudder. She hadn't asked me how I slept, hadn't asked if I was hungry. It was like she didn't need the act anymore. She knew I was stuck. So now, it was letting the mask slip, letting me see the wrongness that had been growing the whole time. I backed away, slowly, careful not to draw her attention. Whatever that thing was in the kitchen, it wasn't my grandmother. I went back to the basement as quietly as I could, because I couldn't stop thinking about what I'd seen. Every other room in the house twisted in the shard's reflection. The basement was the only place that felt like an opposite. To me, this meant something. I hoped to find a solution, or at the very least, answers. Just standing at the top of the basement stairs made my stomach clench. I crept down slowly, one hand gripping the rail, the other wrapped tightly around the mirror shard. When I reached the bottom, the air hit me, and it was worse, damp and metallic. The chair was still there in the center of the room, empty, ropes hanging off the arms like wilted vines. I stood there for a long moment, steadying myself, then lifted the mirror shard and angled it toward the chair. My breath fogged the glass. Within the normal-looking basement in the reflection, a woman sat tied to the chair. Her hair was a little shorter than I remembered, her face thinner. But there was no mistaking her. It was my grandmother, the real one. She wasn't screaming, or if she was, the shard didn't carry sound. Her head drooped forward like she'd exhausted herself hours ago. But when I stepped closer, she lifted her face. Her eyes locked on mine. I didn't know how that was possible. How could she see me from that place? But she did, and she tried to speak. Her lips strained against the invisible ropes of silence, forming a single word again and again. Break. Her mouth formed it with desperate precision. Break, break, break. A chill ran through me so fast it felt like my bones cracked. I lowered the shard and looked at the basement I was in, the failing, dusty one around me. The ropes on the empty chair hung in the exact positions they wrapped around her wrists in the reflection. I raised the shard again. Her eyes didn't blink. She kept mouthing the same word, urging me. But to what? I didn't know. I swallowed hard. Grandma? My voice sounded tiny. Can you hear me? No answer. Her expression tightened, urgency sharpening her features. Her eyes flicked towards something over my shoulder and widened. I froze. Footsteps upstairs. Slow, heavy, like someone placing each foot intentionally, carefully, as if savoring the sound. My heart hammered in my throat. I ducked behind an old shelving unit stacked with dusty paint cans and Christmas ornaments from decades ago. I curled in tight, trying to steady my breath. The footsteps reached the top of the basement stairs. The door groaned open. And then, she came down. Her silhouette stretched along the wall before her body did, slightly bent at the joints, like she'd been rearranged and hadn't quite settled. She hummed that awful, almost lullaby again, each note bending upward at the end like a question. In the reflection, she wasn't there. The basement was still empty, except for my grandmother tied to the chair, silently pleading with me. Two basements, two truths, out of sync with each other, and I was stuck in the wrong one. I pressed the shard to my chest, praying it wouldn't catch any stray light. The fake grandma drifted past my hiding spot, humming, tilting her head left and right like she was smelling the air for me. She paused so close I could have reached out and touched the nightgown, but I didn't dare breathe, didn't dare think. After a long moment, she turned and climbed the stairs again. The door clicked shut behind her, firm and final. I didn't move for a full minute, maybe more, just listening to the thudding of my own heart. Trapped. There was no way out. Just the shard, the cold, and the chair in the center of the room, and the knowledge that something real was still in there, somewhere. I forced myself up, legs shaking, and looked again through the shard. The chair in the reflection was whole, upright, clean. The ropes still tied tightly around my grandmother's wrists and ankles. My grandmother was still staring at me, tears streaking down her face. Break, she mouthed again. Break. I stared down at the empty chair in front of me. Empty, flecks of old frayed rope still curled around the arms like a memory. I pulled out the box cutter that was lying in the storage bin. My hands were sweating now. I turned back to the shard, lined it up just right so the mirror version of the chair overlapped the real one. Heart pounding, I brought the blade to the ropes in the reflection. It was hard to cut because of the angle I had to work at. More often than not, I found myself scoring the side of the chair's arm or slipping across the top. But eventually, I cut through the fraying rope. I did this 3 more times before it all fell loose. I didn't know what I expected. A sound, a shift in the air, magic. Nothing happened. I stood there like an idiot, feeling sick, the shard fogging with my breath. And then, movement. The ropes and the reflection loosened. She was standing, shakily. Tears were in her eyes. She mouthed something again, too fast to catch. I leaned closer. She looked past me and pointed behind me. I spun instinctively, raising the shard, and came face to face with her on all fours. Elbows bent wrong, neck twisted like a broken hanger, face split by that same smile, glinting even without light. Her voice came out like a purr and a rasp layered together. "Looks like you found her." She didn't scream. That somehow made it worse. Her jaw just split open, too fast, unhinging like wet paper peeling away from bone. No sound, just a void where a face should be, and a neck that twitched like a marionette string had just snapped. She lunged. I didn't think. I threw myself backward, ducked under her reaching arms, those long, veiny things, and sprinted for the stairs. Her hands scraped the floor behind me, the nails clacking on the concrete like hooves. I reached the top step just as she let out a noise, like a drain choking on blood. I burst into the hallway, grabbed the door, and slammed it shut behind me. I yanked over a nearby chair and jammed it under the knob. Something hit the door a second later, hard enough to rattle the hinges. The chair groaned, but held. I backed away, heart jackhammering in my throat. The hallway was wrong. The wallpaper patterns had shifted into jagged shapes. The family portraits on the wall were crying, black, oily streaks dribbling from painted eyes. One of the frames bubbled like it was boiling. Every window pulsed in and out like lungs breathing. I staggered into the living room. Everything was worse here. The furniture sagged inward, the floorboards curled slightly at the edges as if trying to turn themselves over. I needed something real, something to ground me. My hands fumbled for the mirror shard in my pocket, fingers trembling as I angled it just right. It took a second to focus. The glass was smudged, but I saw it. The real living room. The warped wallpaper, the melting windows, all gone in the reflection. Just the quiet house, my grandmother's real house. And then, my grandma, the real one. She was standing in the hallway of the reflection, outside my bedroom door. She wasn't tired anymore. It looked like my cutting had worked. Though looking at the red seeping across her sleeves, I was horrified at the ramifications of my miscuts. I had no time to dwell on that, though. She looked at me through the shard, straight into my eyes, and then she mouthed something I couldn't hear. But I felt it. "There's still time." The moment she pointed, I moved. I didn't hesitate. I couldn't. The house was breathing too loud now, the shadows bending in strange directions. The slamming on the basement door rattled the chair loose with each bang. I ran for the hallway closet, the mirror shard gripped so tightly in my hand that the edges dug into my palm. I yanked the door open. Just coats. Dusty, limp things hanging from plastic hangers. A collapsed umbrella, a floor scattered with old shoes. nothing else. A stairwell, wooden, narrow, leading down into shadow. "No way," I whispered, and pressed the shard closer to the gap between the coats. In the glass, the coats didn't exist, just a hollow, like the closet was never used for storage at all. I reached inside. My fingers touched the back panel. Solid, no way through. But I turned to look at my grandma, trying to see if I was missing something. And she was insistent. So, I turned around, pushed my back into the back panel, navigating with the shard, and slipped past it. A faint hiss of cold air rushed out, dry and stale like a crypt. The coats rustled on their own. I pushed them aside and ducked in. It was tight, barely enough room to crawl. The wood scraped my shoulders, the air smelled like wet stone and rust. But I kept going, guided only by what the mirror showed. No more normal, just that staircase, and the strange quiet that came with it. The further I went, the colder it got. Cold you feel in your bones, not your skin. I turned the shard to check behind me, the fake house still warped and snarling. But ahead, the stairs were getting clearer. Halfway through the passage, the mirror started matching what I was seeing. The house in the shard became the real house again, reality snapping back into alignment, like I'd stepped out of a lie. Finally, I emerged. Wooden steps beneath me, smooth concrete floor ahead. The real basement. I could feel it. Still damp, cold, but real. And there it was. The chair. Empty. Frayed rope ends hanging off the arms, red smeared along the wood. The seat indented. Faint marks of dust, shoes, smaller than mine. She'd been here. The last place I saw her was the hallway, so I had to make my way back up. The stairs creaked under my feet like they hadn't been stepped on in years. I moved slowly, breath shallow, expecting the walls to shift again, for the floor to fall out beneath me. But everything was still. When I reached the top, I smelled something familiar. Pine cleaner, coffee grounds, dry air warmed by a radiator. Home. And there, standing in the living room, blinking like someone pulled her from a deep sleep, was Grandma. She looked different, smaller, fragile in a way I didn't remember. Her sweater was on backwards, her hands were shaking, blood still fresh on her wrists and ankles. "Sweetheart," she said, her voice rasping. "Are you okay?" "Never mind me," I shot back, tears welling in my eyes. I stepped closer, heart pounding. She looked up at me and smiled. The way I remembered, true sincerity. But I didn't get to approach, because I heard the sound, a dragging, wet scrape from the hallway behind me. I turned, and it was halfway through the closet, crawling, pulling itself forward like a spider, forcing its way through a crack in the world. Its skin shimmered like tar. Its face flickered between her face and something unfinished. Its hands gripped the frame, long, thin fingers, splintered nails, jaw unhinged. I got back up. Grandma clutched the arm of a chair. "It's back," she whispered. I didn't answer. I reached into my pocket. The mirror shard, still warm from gripping it in the crawl space. I couldn't get the thought out of my head, how I noticed all the reflective surfaces were removed from the house, how I'd got this far only by the shard that I'd found. Reflections were the key. So I did the only thing I could think of. I held it up towards the thing. It hissed, a pressure, a shriek behind my eyes. It recoiled, arms cracking backward at wrong angles. Its eyes locked on the shard, a blur bouncing from it to the shard like a recursive loop. It opened its mouth wider than it should have, its maw a tunnel of static. It reached again. So, I stepped forward, held the shard higher, and things intensified. It wasn't light that came out, more like the absence of everything behind me, like it was staring into a doorway it wasn't meant to see. Air surged backward, photos fell off the wall, the hallway twisted. It clawed at the floor, trying to stay, but its limbs started folding, backwards, inward, undone. It turned to ash in slow motion, like paper burning without flame. Then, silence. The mirror shard split down the center, hairline cracks webbed through it, and then it crumbled, fine as sand, through my fingers. Gone completely. Behind me, Grandma started to cry. The house was still. The hallway was quiet. The mess from the encounter was strewn about. The mirror was still missing from the wall. The kitchen full of plastic forks. That blank wooden board still bolted to the bathroom wall. Like the world had snapped back, but the echo of her choices remained. Grandma was there, standing where I'd last seen her. Her eyes flicked to mine as I entered. And for a second, I saw something. Recognition, grief, then relief, sharp and overwhelming. I quickly rushed to get a first aid kit I knew she had in the kitchen, and when I came back, tended to her wounds. Lines cut on her wrists and ankles where my slicing went awry. But she didn't seem to hold it against me. "Oh," she whispered, like she'd been holding her breath for years. "Thank God it's over." I nodded, tried to answer, but it caught in my throat. "It was like a bad dream," she said, voice barely louder than the wind outside. "I remember going about my daily business, cleaning up for when you arrived. But my reflection caught funny. Next thing I know, I couldn't move, couldn't speak. But then I saw you, in the mirror." I knelt beside her, unsure of what to say. Her hand found mine. "You were so brave," she said. "I always knew you would be." I swallowed hard. The lump in my throat didn't budge. "Grandma," I said quietly, "you're safe now. That's all that matters." She nodded, eyes glassy. "You saved me." We sat there for a long time, just breathing, relishing the quiet, while the sun kept rising. The days after it all ended were quiet in a way I'd never noticed before. Grandma and I didn't talk about what happened, not directly, but something unspoken passed between us every time I handed her a new mirror to hang or helped peel the privacy film from the windows. She'd watch the sunlight come in like it was a guest she hadn't seen in years, like she didn't trust it to stay. But she hugged me more, made real food again, still a little overcooked still too much dill, but I didn't mind. I swept out rooms that hadn't been opened in years, helped replace knobs, scrubbed tape off old faucets, and rehang a new mirror in the hallway. When I stepped back and looked at the glass, I didn't flinch. I saw myself, just me. And behind me, she smiled, the real one. On the last morning, she made me pancakes, real syrup, real butter. She didn't call me the wrong name once. Life was back to normal. When Mom pulled up outside, I loaded my bag into the trunk and hugged Grandma a little longer than I ever had before. She whispered, "You come back soon, okay?" I nodded, "I will." My mom noticed the bandages on Grandma's wrists, but we both stuck to the story. It was a kitchen accident, nothing more. We were halfway down the road when Mom glanced at me. "Thanks for being good for her," she said. "I know it's never your favorite place, but I appreciate it. Maybe next time I'll see if one of your friends can have you over instead. You know, let you do something fun." I looked out the window. Trees blurred past, ordinary and soft. No oil slick shimmer, just the world. "No," I said, "I'm okay with staying at Grandma's." Mom raised an eyebrow. "Really?" "Yeah," I said. "Plus, she could use the help." She smiled, surprised but pleased. "Well, that's really kind of you." I nodded, but didn't say anything else. Just kept looking out the window, watching the woods roll by. I felt a newfound responsibility for Grandma. And if anything ever happened again, I'd be ready.